Your basis on the CN. Perfect. Okay, so it hasn't made the booming sound yet. No.
So I'd like to call to order the hearing board meeting for the Monterey Bay Air Resources District for just today's Friday's September 9th.
Eight.
And with that, I'd ask for a roll call, please.
Chairman Michael Wood.
Present.
Member Dan McBride.
Here.
Member Emmett Bender.
Present.
We have a quorum.
So I'm sorry, I'm just noticing something. I got two packages in the mail, and one I marked up, and I only brought one of them. And I'm noticing that, am I saying something wrong in this? Is the inside front page supposed to say Tuesday, June 13th?
Oh, yes, but the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay.
Yes, so that's number
so
four.
So that doesn't apply to this agenda?
It does. It's agenda item four, but we got to do three first.
No, but this agenda, oh, there it is, that date. That is the date of this agenda,
yes.
Not this date.
And we're going through this, but this is agenda item four.
No, and I'm sorry, I looked for my sec. I got two copies in the mail, and I didn't bring the copy I'd already looked through.
Yeah. Have the incorrect at this label. So
but it arrived.
Yeah.
The day before the second one. In our neighborhood, the mail person can see the name. They don't need the address. Yeah. Okay. So apologies for that. So I'm going to ask now if there's any member of the public that would like to speak to anything that is not on the agenda.
We don't have anybody from the public.
And I don't see any people in the room. And
we have two people sitting here in the room, but they're not raising their hands.
When you say sitting in the room, you mean on the online room?
Yes, on the webcast.
Okay. So as we go through the agenda, Amy, I don't know if you want to introduce the items as administrative staff today, or I can, but I'll let you do that one at a time before I take them.
Sure. Agenda item four, accept and file the summary of actions from the hearing board on June 13th, 2023.
Okay, so I've read through those, but I'll ask my colleagues if you have any thoughts. And I noticed last time when we did separate motions to amend our findings first, and then a second motion to adopt the order. So,
get out of order.
No, this was a good thing. In when you have a single person, there's not really that sort of prior to this year, we were doing single person work most of the time. So, the person could decide to amend the minutes verbally and then adopt them. I mean, I'm sorry, amend the findings and adopt the order, say that out loud, and then go sign it and amend it. So I'll look over to our council. Going forward, I don't know if we're going to need to do that today because I don't know how in detail we're going to get into our findings today. I know this is a little off topic on the agenda, but it's pertinent, I think. Would you prefer that if we're going to amend the draft order that we do that on a separate motion from approving it?
It doesn't matter to me as your hearing board attorney. What matters is that staff have a clear record to operate off of and that it needs to be, you know, scrutinized, that there's a clear indication of what the amendment was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's accurate. As long as it's accurate and it's clearly conveyed, whether it goes in one motion or two motions, it's rather just form over substance.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest to myself that if it doesn't matter legally, we keep doing it the way we did it because it does add clarity a month later when you're reviewing. Okay, so with that, does somebody want to make a motion to accept the summary of actions?
Sure, I motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
So I guess I'll ask for a roll call on that.
Roll call, Chair.
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Daniel Dodge?
Yes.
And Clinton?
Yes.
Well, the motion passes, and I think we can go on to our next item.
Okay. Now we're going to open up the public hearing for docket 23-003, Granite Construction Company interim variance. The project site is 721 Work Street, Salinas, California. We'll begin with the administration of the oath.
Okay, so we'll let everybody know that anybody that's intending to speak needs to speak under oath. And I'm going to ask first for the names of everybody that we think is going to speak. We can add people later. And then I'm going to recite the oath and ask people individually by name to affirm. And so there's a list here already in advance. So is everybody aware of this list and is it complete in the applicant?
I think we need two more people added for the petitioner.
Okay, so I will go ahead then and I'll ask. So for the, so Amy, are you going to testify?
Yes.
Okay, so I probably shouldn't say out loud my head scratching about you being both the administrative chair and a witness in the same hearing. But I'll just not say that out loud and continue. But that
I would say Carol's the clerk of the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't we split that well for this particular line item? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And for Granite, I see we have Christine Williams.
Yes.
And just a second. And I see two other folks, so I'll ask for names.
My name is Donald Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D.
Donald Roland. And
my name is Caleb Peterson.
Where was that? Caleb?
Caleb, C-A-L-E.
Peterson. And I'm going to ask for help with the pronunciation. Is it Iziel?
That's correct.
Okay. So I'm going to ask all parties that they do you swear or affirm that all testimony you will give was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amy Climo.
Yes.
Mary Gerardo.
Yes.
Iziel Rubio Salazar.
Yep.
Christine Williams.
Yes.
Donald Roland.
Yes.
Caleb Peterson.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that. And I think we'll go ahead and let the petitioner present. So it's all yours.
No staff report.
We're going to do that after we've heard from you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We appreciate having the opportunity to speak with you, the board and staff today. We represent Granite Construction. We operate an asphalt plant in Salinas. Earlier this year, we invested $2 million. We installed a new burner, which is a critical piece of our equipment to produce asphalt. The purpose of this was to have a more efficient machine that would reduce emissions. And in the process of doing that, we conducted our source test last week. And we were very disappointed that we failed that test. This was the purpose of buying this machine. We learned from our vendor that the equipment, as it was delivered, was optimized so that it would run efficiently at maximum production level. But like most equipment, we don't run at maximum levels at all times. And if I could give a comparison, there would be different rates of production, say for a large Caltrans job that's paving at night, and you want to return that roadway to the public during the day versus paving a driveway or a parking lot. Our expectation, Granite's expectation, is that regardless of the level of production, that burner should always meet the requirements set forth by this air district. We were very disappointed when that did not happen. So we are working with our vendor and getting parts that were made produced for this, being shipped out to us as we speak. be delivered to us on Monday by UPS, install that equipment so that it will run regardless of whatever throughput we have on that plant, that it will achieve the emission standards set forth by this air district and under our permit. I will say that when we placed the order for this, we made it very clear. We shared what the requirements were with our vendor on the request for the quote. And we also made it very clear that what the requirements were from this air district. And we're disappointed that we didn't satisfy that. We have high confidence that when we receive these parts and we install them, that we can confidently meet that requirement at any given level of production. So we're asking time to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Rowling. So I'll just share with y'all, of course, any of us can interrupt for questions at any time. And I know I certainly have some already. I'm kind of interested in your staff report before I go back and petitioner. But if anybody's got any questions at this point.
Okay, so in July of 2022, we received an application from Granite Construction Company to modify the burner on their asphaltic concrete batch plant, and there's a picture of this on the table for you to see what it looks like. And the modification to the permit, as mentioned, was to replace the existing 135 million BTU per hour burner with a new burner that was rated, had a lower rating of 125 million BTU per hour. So when we receive a permit modification, we issue a document called an authority to construct, and that's what we're considering today for this interim variance of the conditions that will be considered. And an ATC will often have startup conditions that must be met before the permit's issued. And so for this case, one of the startup conditions was to conduct that sort of test to ensure the new burner met the emission limits. So the modification is numbered MOD-22-0049, and it was issued on June 30th, 2023. And as mentioned, the emission limits that are in that authority to construct condition 8 were guaranteed by the burner manufacturer, and condition 11 required a sort of performance test. So on August 31st, the test was conducted, and two pollutants, oxides of nitrogen, which we call NOx, and carbon monoxide, which we call CO, we're above the emission limits in condition 8 of the ATC. And our inspector, Isabel Rubio Salazar, witnessed the sort test. So the condition lists the NOx limit of 33 parts per million, and the average measured during that test was 71 parts per million. And the CO limit is 300 parts per million, and the average measured was 393. And these values are a little bit different than what was in petitioner's application. I had a follow-up conversation with petitioner, and these are the updated values from the source test company. Excess emission fees were calculated based on these emission limits for NOx and CO, and petitioners agreed to limit production to 4,500 tons per day, which ends up resulting in fewer NOx emissions and no excess CO emission. And so during the term of the variance, the petitioner will need to pay the minimum excess emissions fee of $560. During the term of the variance, petitioner will be in violation of the ATC conditions 8, 11, 13, and 14, and Monterey Bay Air Resources District Rule 207. The term of the interim variance is anticipated to be until the short-term variance hearing, which we expect on the next regularly scheduled hearing board meeting on October 13th. And staff does not oppose the variance request.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to start with a few questions, and then I won't go too long, and then I'll see what we all have to do, and I'll circle back. That's okay. So, an interim variance, my understanding, we need to find good cause that we could later make findings, but can't really do that unless we explore some of the aspects of findings now. So, a couple of questions. I see in the initial filing by petitioner phrasing, emissions on our new primary burner are not in alignment with the manufacturer's promised emission levels. That's the sentence from your page 16 of your petition. And then airport staff say, and I only got a part of the sentence that I heard the phrase guaranteed by the manufacturer. So Are you reciting a guarantee that you believe that had been made to the petitioner, or did you hear that as part of your review with them when you're doing the ATC before?
You typically, when a person applies for a permit, they will give us a manufacturer guarantee for emission limits, and that's what we do to evaluate their application and calculate the emission. So at the time of application, we would have been given that information.
Okay, so, but I appreciate that. And the follow-up then is, so was it a guarantee to the purchaser of the equipment that's being relayed to you, or did that manufacturer have to make a guarantee to the Air Board?
I would say it was to
the manufacturer provided the numbers in a separate documentation that was provided to them, which they provided to us.
Okay, because I mean, this word guarantee is the one that I'm harking on. There's always projected, which is different than guaranteed. Because one of the things that I want to have about promises and guarantees is, so, because, you know, there's this idea of, you know, without a remedy, there's no right. When you use words like guarantee, you've used promise, which is a lower level. Does that mean the manufacturer is covering your costs for this because there was a guarantee? And I don't know if it's pertinent to ask, but it has to do with the reasonableness of your reliance on their numbers. So just starting with that, the question for me becomes, you know, there's a time when people in the industry knew all their counterparts, and the salespeople knew the manufacturing floor guys, and everybody worked with each other, and you know who you could count on and who you couldn't. And then there comes along outfits that salespeople can't be taken at their word at all, and it's whether it's an asphalt or anything. So keeping in mind, I have to make a finding, we have to make a finding about the reasonableness that, I mean, that whether these conditions were beyond your reasonable control. Is this an outfit that you have worked with before and they've hit spot on in the past?
It is. We've purchased other equipment from this manufacturer, named Aztec. In fact, we installed their equipment at our plant in Santa Clara. That was a backed best available control technology. And we passed a source test with that equipment just within the last 2 weeks.
So the answer was yes, you have worked with them before, and I got one anecdotal example. Is that the only example, or are there others?
There are others within our region and other areas of Granite Construction.
Okay, so I want to suggest to my colleagues that plays into our analysis of the reasonableness of their position. You know, they didn't just go find a new fly by night place that lied to them in their sales pitch or something like that. So that was about, to me, was an important question. And that is interesting that they had to provide them to you. But you use the word guarantee. Did they use that word? Is that part of the code that, or some internal protocol?
So we had to do a back determination of best available control technology for this project. And so we have to look at what is out there throughout the rest of the state. And so we require that they meet these limits. And so then they said, yes, we can guarantee, and here are the numbers.
Okay.
So those are the numbers that they need guaranteed.
So are the fixes that they're proposing things that they could have had in the first place, or did they have to find out it wasn't working to do this kind of thing, or was there some crimping on costs in the first instance, and now you're stepping up to do something more controlling?
I can assure you if there was any crimping of cost, that was not passed along to us.
But I mean, it's a fair question, though. Did you feel like you see that they might have done that?
Knowing them and their reputation, I don't feel that was the case.
Okay.
I do feel that we provided accurate information on what our expectations were, and I'm disappointed that our vendor did not meet that.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of stuff go wrong, but we don't see all the stuff that goes right because it doesn't come before us. So in my mind, it's like stuff's always going wrong. Stuff never gets performed to spec. It never gets delivered right. But of course, I'm seeing one half of 1% of the circumstances. Anyway, that was my starting point, so.
Good evening. No, thank you guys for being here. I just have one question. I know we have Granite Rock in Watsonville, and your word in your bond is very respected in the city of Watsonville. So I know when you say you're disappointed in failing, I believe that. You guys' work and reputation is good. And I just wanted to say that. Just quickly, what happens if we do decide to grant this variance, but you guys keep failing? What happens after that?
Well, they would be covered for the term of the variance. So I guess it would be 90 days starting in October. So if for some reason that didn't work either, they could come back and do a longer term variance to try to explain, and then it would be what your decision, whether you agree with the six findings to continue that for a longer period of time, or the worst case would be they could get a violation.
So it's possible we have to be back. And for some reason, that was my question at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Linder?
Yeah. Thanks. So then I'm talking to the staff is, we're going to rule on to October 13th. Then after that, it starts rolling into 90 days, or if it's not fixed, it starts to roll into the 90 day period.
We'll start a 90 day clock on October 13th. Because when an interim variance, the only finding is good cause, so you always have to turn in either a short term or long term variance at the same time. So this covers you until you can get to that publicly noticed.
That's the 13th.
Yes.
And then if it's fixed, it's just a non-issue.
Right. Okay. Yes. It sounds like it might be fixed by October.
Okay. I have a comment, much like Daniel. I'm from Salinas, working possible, but I'm from Salinas. Real happy that Granite decided to put that batch plant in Salinas on Orchard Street. I think it's an excellent spot for it. And you guys, we love it in Watsonville, and we love it in Salinas too as a company. You guys do good work, good projects, very professional, and hope you get it fixed.
Thank you.
That's what I have.
Okay, thanks. So now I've heard both my colleagues say, give the high view of their high view of the reputation of Granite. So, because I didn't say that originally, that makes it maybe perhaps sound like I didn't think that, but I there was no implication on my part. The reason I'm asking specific questions, just to make it really clear, hey, what's going on? You worked with these people before. We want that as a record, because it's got to be things we are weighing. Any company can make a mistake and buy something incorrect, designed it wrong, something went wrong, it delivered was. And we just want to hear, I want to hear what had happened. And as soon as they tell me under oath that that's what happened, I absolutely, but I have to have that information slotted in high view, into my mind and into the record.
Right.
So
I understand.
It's important for us.
Yeah, I'm following you.
Yeah.
I did take some training up in San Francisco, so I'm kind of following what you're doing to make sure it's public record and that things are cleared up.
Yeah.
Somebody can't come back and say you didn't dot the I's and cross the T's.
And part of it is we have to make sure we have a record that this gentleman can defend.
Okay.
And with that, I do have a few more questions about some of the other findings. And I'm not quite sure I understand. So if you run it at less than full capacity, it has higher output than if you run it at full capacity. Is that per day or is that per minute? I mean, what can you explain to me that aspect?
That's based on a tons per hour rating.
Okay.
So maybe I can pass it over to my colleague to explain.
Okay.
Yeah. So this plant has a maximum input capacity, but it is capable of producing below that. It's designed to produce at whatever rate is optimal for your customer demand for the day. So if we have a slower production day, we will run the plant more slowly to accommodate the slower output of material.
Can you clarify? So you mean if everything that's produced there is going to be then trucked to a work site, and they may only bring one truck per hour, or they may bring 10 per hour, and that determines your rate for that time period?
Precisely. Yes.
Okay. But then when you run out of limit, is it a daily or hourly limit? What is the limit parameter that they're violating?
It's parts per million for NOx. That's what they're violating, but they're taking a production limit of 4,500 tons a day.
Okay, so this kind of fills in getting back to my question. So if you run at full capacity or very high capacity, you beat that limit. If you run lower, you don't beat that limit. And that's just a test that's done periodically, or is that continuously monitored?
So if you look at the excess emissions calculation at the staff report, I think you'll see it's the same. We consider that the NOx has to be the same parts per million regardless of what the production rate is. It has to meet the condition in the authority to construct says it's supposed to be 33 parts per million at 3% oxygen. And so whether it's at full production, which I think is 9,300 tons per day or 4,500, the excess emissions calculation you'll see is based on 71 parts per million of NOx because that's what they tested.
Okay, and so here's why I'm asking, by the way, just this ties to a finding. Sometimes, for extreme case, we might shut somebody down. Where very often we see people scale back because they're running too high. Here we've got a situation where scaling back isn't helping or appears not to be helping. So with regard to our finding that closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants, or that petitioner will reduce emissions to the maximum extent practical, feasible, that's another finding. It seems like it's not a simple, hey, can't you just go to 60% of capacity and then you won't be out until you figure stuff out, because at 60% you're out. I mean, the other question could be, why don't you just run 100% and just do it for shorter, but you have to have that stuff in real time for trucks in a certain condition. So what is going on to address it other than waiting to get it fixed?
I guess if you look at this, the pounds per day are lower if they're at that lower production limit.
What
so
I certainly guess that if they're running very low capacity, they can have a momentary parts per million or an instantaneous parts per million problem all the time, but their overall daily volume is so much less than if they were running it high that it's backwards. Like we're catching a non-compliance that at the end of the day isn't an increase in load. Am I seeing that wrong?
Correct. So we have to keep in mind that a new source review determination had to be made that this project triggered that. And you don't get to say, oh, I'm as if they accepted a particular limit.
No.
So 33 parts per million was determined to be back, regardless of whether they're operating 100 tons per hour or 500 tons per hour.
I absolutely get that, and I'm not faulting any of that. But in the greater thinking about, like, we're not asking them, we're not requiring them. Like, when they're drying sand up at, when you're drying sand up in the mountains in Santa Cruz, and the burner wasn't working right, they reduced the throughput, and they got under their limits, but those were a different kind of limit. What I'm getting at is that part of what we're doing is making a finding that you reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. When you're in a parts per million scenario, they don't have a way to do that except to go full bore or stop.
Well, if you look at the calculation, so at full bore, the pounds per day of NOx is 93.75. At 4,500 tons per day, the NOx is 99. So the difference is 5 pounds per day. So by reducing that production limit, they're only in excess by 5 pounds a day. So it's not, that's a pretty low number.
I'm still asking the same thing. You have parts per million, and if you're running at full tilt, at the end of the day, you have a certain amount of pounds.
Right.
And if that pound was over, you'd tell them to run 6 hours, not eight, perhaps, until you figured out what was going on. But the parts per millions are what they are whenever you measure them. And you're saying that there's a distinct, separate parameter requirement that parts per million cannot ever be above a particular value, regardless of whether you're running at full tilt, 60%, 20%. Is that correct? So I'm just trying to weigh in, like, am I missing something? There's not a recommendation for them to do something different. We're just waiting for the fix. Am I understanding that correctly?
They are going to do something different.
Okay.
They've told us they're going to only operate at 4,500 tons a day. The ATC allows them to go up to 9,375. So they are reducing their production, which will, although the part per million NOx is higher, it will reduce the pounds per day of NOx by having a lower production rate.
Okay, I'm glad we got that clarified because I missed that.
Yeah, less hours. Yeah, I read that in this.
But we're never going to get below the parts per million. So if they, is that a state or district rule, or did we lay these numbers on them specifically because that's what their manufacturer promise.
So VAC is always changing. And so it's always the best control technology at the time that's achieved in practice. So at the time of their application, we deem 33 ppm NOx as VAC. 5 years from now, it might be 20. So it might come down. But at, when we did their evaluation, the women's 33 or not.
But had your evaluation showed 45, there's not a higher level rule that would have stopped that?
We would not have approved the project because it's already been deemed achieved in practice throughout the state to be much lower than that.
Okay. All right, good. Just exploring these out because we're all here and I don't want to have a surprise month from now.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'll put it back around. In light of all this discussion, what are you all thinking?
Oh, I think we should take the staff recommendation.
Yeah.
Just to kind of going back what you're saying that, you know, right here on page 32, the petitioner will reduce production to 45 tons per day or less during the variance term. I think that's great that you guys, you know, committed that number so that way we all can see. And also, no, there's no, and so, you know, I think that's great how you're going to keep the emissions low. And I'm not sure what my colleagues think, but I would like to make a motion we grant this variance.
Excellent. Well, I'll second that.
Okay, so quick discussion on the motion. So we've got a we're not simply, moving to grant variance. We're going to adopt the draft order as in front of us. So I'll just make clear that none of us are, and certainly the motion maker is not requesting any amendment to the draft order. Well, we can have that discussion, but I'm asking first whether you were proposing any as part of this motion.
If you have anything like to discuss and add, I mean.
No, this is the first time I have it ever because it's an interim variance. Normally, my view is the stuff that we talked about here today to flesh out whether we thought there was good cause later to support these findings has to only one vote. But in my view, it would have to be reflected in writing in the interim variance. So, all we have to show today is that we've demonstrated an inherent cause that we could make those findings. And I'm not going to be comfortable a month from now adopting bare bone findings. I would want to write in this discussion that we have in Berlin Park. But I am totally comfortable supporting a motion of yours that we adopt the order is drafted now in front of us. I just wanted to clarify that.
Nice, but you what happened?
But council, please.
I wasn't intending to interrupt the conversation about the motion and any amendment, just to remind to open public comment. I know there's nobody here, but we do need to
the motion
being made and seconded, it would be appropriate to open comment after you've clarified the scope of the motion.
Okay, or I could ask them to withdraw the motion and do public comment.
Either way works.
I'm going to ask the motion maker to withdraw the motion and we'll go to public comment.
I would like to withdraw my motion so we can let the public. If there's any public, I thought there's two hands up somewhere. But
so I will ask our staff if we've got any members of the public online that want to testify. And I'll caution anybody that's testifying on an item that's on the agenda that I need to put them under oath.
There is no public.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
There's two people, but they're
already.
Oh, yeah.
Show hands up.
I just give them a second. Sometimes internet takes a second or two. Mm-hmm. Are we comfortable? Okay. I'll go back to you, Mr. Dodge.
I would like to go ahead and make a motion that we support the short-term variance. Did you want to add something to that?
No.
These findings, the testimony.
I would prefer that your motion included the phrasing and adopt the order as presented, draft order as presented.
If we can add that language under my motion.
Yeah. Your second.
I'd like to second.
Perfect. So why don't we get a roll call, please?
Chair Booth?
Yes.
Member Dodge?
Yes.
Member Linder?
Yes.
I want to thank you three. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate coming down.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you all.
Thanks, yeah.
So take a look at the agenda again, Rachel. It says adjournment. Is it going to be out of order if there was a mention or two from the board to staff about a thing or two?
I think you could make a couple of comments. Yeah. Like you're closing, if we're talking about adding features when that is.
I think
staff. Super
agenda items.
Yes.
Thank you all again.
Thank you.
I know that a year ago we started talking about updates to the hearing board rules, and that was before we became a have to meet in person thing. So that has to be added to what we're doing. And I read the rules. In fact, I'm sure I have them here somewhere. Like I said, I brought my leaf marked copy by mistake. But we have rules that are from 2002 that say that talk about that still authorize. They appear to call for hearing types that are no longer authorized, and we really have to get that cleaned up. Now, for this particular level of hearing, it also says something like, you do this with one person or as otherwise required by law or something like that. So there's sort of this catchphrase that in my view still authorizes us to meet this way. But when you get to the specifics and don't use the catchphrase, it's talking about authorizing stuff we're not allowed to do. So I think our time of slowly putting that off as we massage it is behind us, and we need to fix that.
Yeah, we have it almost ready. We'll have it for the October meeting.
What's great is I hope we could have our new council review it first. That would be so great.
Sure.
That was my comment. Ryan, do we have anything else that we wanted to get on the agendas in the future?
Can you clarify what you just said about the...
So we have bylaws. We have bylaws that were written when we were less than a 750,000 three-county district.
Okay.
And the last sentence, we went above that. We can't operate as a lesser size district anymore.
Okay.
The bylaws discuss still that you can have these one-person meetings like you used to be able to do. Like I say, there's a catchphrase that says, or as otherwise, but they like over and over are referring to things that we can't do. And I think we would be much better served if all of that was brought into compliance with our new size.
Okay.
I don't know if we've had a controversial issue or a lawsuit on any of these hearing board things. I've been on it 12 years that I remember. But one day, if it comes, we want to make sure our bylaws are
great.
Right. Okay, so that was all for me. Anybody else, last words? Thanks, everybody. Welcome to the new council.
Yes.
And adjourned. Hang on.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was interesting.